I'd like to introduce my colleague, Dr. Doug Mosley, who's a physicist at Princess Margaret Hospital and assistant professor in radiation oncology at the University of Toronto.
Thanks, sir. Just bring my slides here. So I'm talking about the exciting topic of quality assurance this morning. So I'm going to try to spice it up a little bit. Wonderful. There we go. So talking about quality assurance this morning. So we have devices in our LINAC bunkers. I'm sure these have shown up in your department that are kind of like a conventional simulator, kind of like a CT scanner, but also have to deliver radiation therapy in a conformal or IMRT sense. And so really, what are you going to do for the QA? Well, why don't you just do three times the QA of all those things? So what we look for guidelines for that? First of all, we would look at TG40 for a simulator, and then we would take TG2, which talks about CT scanners and CT scanner QA, and we're going to talk also about TG40, of course, for the LINAC. And now we have new instruments in our departments, X-ray multimeters and new phantoms and things like that, so we should probably do QA on TG40 as well as on the instruments. Okay, so now we have all these QA tests that we have to do on our image-guided LINACs. And so that brings me to my motivation slide for this talk, is that we want to have strategies in order to manage these things. So the caption on the bottom here is the race for quality has no finish line, so technically it's more like a death march. So what are some of the strategies we can actually use to manage all these extra pieces that we have to measure and monitor? Well, one is to do integral checks to be able to combine tests, perhaps looking at new phantoms that do multiple tests at the same time. We try to automate as many tests as we can, as well as perhaps downloading some of these tests to therapists and technologists as part of their morning workup or morning QA. And also we want to prioritize. And I look at image guidance as kind of being like real estate. It's about location, location, location. So, of course, we have our kilovoltage X-ray tube, which is mounted orthogonally to our treatment beam. And we're taking these kind of nice images with high spatial resolution and soft tissue visualization. But are they in the right position? The treatment beam is not doesn't have the references, the kilovoltage beam doesn't have the references that you have in the treatment beam. And so we could possibly introduce systematic errors into our delivery if we're not looking in the right space, kind of a hand-eye coordination. So one of the calibration methods that we use for this is we stick an object in the center of the localized with MV, and we move that to what we think is the best approximation of the MV radiation isocenter. And then once that is localized there, we can calibrate the kilovoltage isocenter to that point in space. And so now we have our hands and our eyes pointing at the same point. And so we do this as part of our commissioning and calibration steps, but we also want to be able to do this as part of our monitoring. And so here's some data from our institution here looking at all our image-guided LINACs. And so this is the commissioning data. And so if we look at the residual error between MV isocenter localization, you can see here that you have very good agreement to within, 200 or 300 microns of the MV isocenter based on the KV isocenter. Now, there's also some uncertainty in that because, of course, that MV isocenter is not a point in space. It's kind of a cloud of uncertainty. And so we're going to look at isocenter uncertainty on the order of about half a millimeter. So that seems very good as part of our commissioning tests. Now we want to be able to monitor that on a regular basis. And so we looked also at the long-term stability of this. And so this is about 9 months of data, 12 calibrations over that. And so this is showing the projection of what we think is the isocenter onto the KV system. And this is in the U or in the cross-axis distance. And this is along the axis of rotation distance. And you can see here the blue line is the mean position. And the red is the plus or minus 2 sigma, so 95% confidence interval of deviation around there. So you can see that these systems are very robust and very stable over long periods of time. So that's exciting. That's encouraging. This is some data from Duke University published last year in MedPhys. And so they looked at their quality assurance program for onboard imaging. And what they have here is looking at the displacement on an AP radiograph, looking for the first 4 months of measuring daily and then the last 4 months of measuring weekly. And so they had some events. They're using a 5-centimeter block, which ships with the OBI units, and some fiducial markers on there to give orientation. And so one of the events was the laser was out of spec, and so this would be patients that are not getting image guidance would be positioned slightly off. or there was also just positioning of the QA device being incorrect. And so that would correspond to a kind of a false positive in that. But they had one event where it was actually the detector was actually falling out of the, in terms of the specification. So that's something that you want to be able to catch, because if the detector is not in the right spot, it's going to tell you to move to not to the right spot. And so one of the ways that we can see that, well, in 3D, I'm sorry this movie's a little blinky, but in 3D we're a little less sensitive to the detector position. I mean, we're sensitive to it, but we can see it almost right away. And so this is a simulated data set where I take a nasopharynx patient and I've purposely shifted the panel in 5 millimeters in the U direction, so you can see that the tomographic images start to fall apart. You have all these kind of ringing and kind of banding artifacts, and you know that something is up. And so with cone beam reconstruction, you can almost detect immediately if the geometry is off. Now, it's not the same for 2D radiography, and so for this reason, we look at possibly doing daily geometry QA. And so this is a phantom from Modus Medical that we've designed and helped them build. And so this phantom actually has several different kind of devices inside. It's actually got five spheres, which are a 3D unique pattern, and we also have some projection rings on the outside. And so the idea is that we could use this for 2D QA and daily isocenter checks, as well as 3D isocenter checks. And so you can see here from the projection images, you can see when you're at a 100 centimeter SAD and everything's in the center, that the circles project inside this inside the rings, or the spheres project inside the rings. Now, perhaps if we have a gantry angle off, so this is a rotation of a half degree, you can see here now the spheres are not projecting into the center of the rings anymore. So it's kind of a quick visual check to see that, you know, something is up. And you can also use the center of this where it projects onto the panel to use to see where the isocenter location is. And now granted, the rotation direction is actually the most sensitive for this phantom. It's not so sensitive to longitudinal shifts or lateral shifts. Okay, so we have some data from this from our daily QA experience. So if we imagine that there's three isocenters in the room, there's where the lasers are, there's where the KV isocenter is, and then where the MV isocenter is. Well, this is really the only important one. And so what we've done here is plotted the error that we've measured on this on a daily basis. And so we're looking at a number of histograms here in the left, right in red, in the superior, inferior in yellow, and in the anterior, posterior in cyan. And what we've done is plotted the error on each of the individual units that we've measured this for about 6 months of data. And the encouraging thing is that we're seeing very little systematic error, so less than a millimeter in terms of systematic error in terms of those shifts, and standard deviations on the order of about a millimeter. And so that means plus or minus 2 sigma is going to be on the order of 2 millimeters, which was our tolerance for intervention. Well, part of the difficulty is that the MV localization for this is manual, so it tends to have a little higher variability than the 3D localization, which is automatic. So a KV quality assurance program, what are the things that we're doing and what are the things we're measuring in terms of frequency? Well, for the MVKV isocenter, we're checking this daily and we're redoing the geometric calibration on a monthly basis, which is probably a little enthusiastic, but we tend to be that way. And we look at the flat panel detectors. We refresh the floods and defects on a monthly basis. So that'll help our 2D image quality as well as our 3D image quality. We have a requirement from the state or from the licensing province, which requires us to look at the X-ray tube in terms of output and linearity and timer accuracy every 6 months, as well as the CT image quality, which is measured with a CAT fan on a monthly basis. And we also check the automatic couch, because we're using the automatic couch to correct the patient position. We're checking that on a daily basis as a function of our daily isocenter check. So that checks for scale as well as direction. So image quality. So there's lots of things, as Jeff touched on, in terms of that you could measure in terms of image quality: spatial resolution, image noise, contrast to noise, scale, orientation, uniformity, CT number accuracy. These two devices usually ship with your image-guided Linux. There's the 2D Leeds test device, as well as the 3D CAT fan from Phantom Laboratories. These are very nice phantoms that have a lot of checks that are built into them, so lots of measurements that you can do just taking one image. I'm going to just touch on some quick results on CT number accuracy. So this is CT number accuracy measured across all our Linux, including one of the OBI units. So I'm plotting actual number, CT number along this axis, and measured CT number along the vertical axis. And of course, the line of identity is where we want to be. And what I'm plotting is the slope, which is cyan, the offset, which is yellow, and then the linearity, which is in red. So you can see here that we have very, very good linearity of those measurements. But the slope it tends to be all over the place. And so that's just a warning to the community, is that these are not diagnostic CT scanners. You're going to see variability in the CT numbers, and so if you think you can take this and do planning on it without actually checking, I would encourage you to actually look at these values. So just a quick touch on KV radiation dose. And so this is the equation that you can do a back-of-the-envelope radiation dose calculation. So the tube output, which is measured as part of your 6 monthly checks, this is going to be your MR per MAS. This is going to be a function of the KVP, as well as your beam quality and the filtration, the inherent filtration, the added filtration, the number of projections and the MAS per projection, an F factor to convert a centigrade between Rankine and centigrade, as well as attenuation to the center, and then a scatter factor here. So this is a way to get a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation for your techniques that you're using for imaging. We've done these measurements in cylindrical phantoms of head and body using a Farmer chamber, and so this is very good at estimating the dose at the center. It's kind of challenging to use this formula to estimate the dose at the periphery, but you can actually measure that. And so if we look at some experimental results here, this is from Muhammad Islam in MedPhys 2006. So as a function of field size, the total dose at the center and at the periphery at 2 centimeter depth is on the order of, say, 1 to 2 kind of centigrade. So you can see that if I decrease the field size, you can actually decrease the dose, and the dose at the periphery is always going to be higher than the dose at the actual center. And so that was the setup that we used for measuring this, with some scatter blocks as well as the RTI, or CTDI dose phantom in the center. Here's just some quick qualitative results. And so you can actually, this is one of your tunable parameters in terms of setting up techniques. And so I'm plotting MAS per projection on the vertical axis and number of projections across the other axis. This was presented by Paul Ravindran last year at APM. And you can see here that you go from 4 centigrade down to 0.25 centigrade. So it's actually a 16 times reduction in dose just by reducing the dose per projection and the number of projections. So you can have quite usable images at very, very low doses. And so I think I kind of touch on this here. One of the tricks you can do is to do a half scan and actually put the X-ray tube trajectory under the patient. So this is taking advantage of the fact that the entrance exposure is always less than the exit exposure. And so you can see here that there's a difference of almost a factor of 5 in terms of these critical structures at the anterior portion of the head as opposed to the posterior portion of the back. And so we use this technique for our low-dose pediatric CNS imaging. So we run the tube, and the output as low as we can go, taking a half scan with a tube under, and estimates a dose on the order of 1.6 milligrays. So that's quite encouraging for places where very usable images for bony matching, not much soft tissue visualization in these images. There's going to be kind of high amounts of noise, but it's something that you can use in order to do image guidance. So I think that brings me to the end. So conclusions: that the geometry is stable and accurate for these devices, but I encourage you to measure this on a daily basis. Monthly, we look at the imaging and geometric calibration. Annual, we repeat the full acceptance test. And the image quality is definitely suitable for guidance, but not diagnostic quality yet. But the CT vendors have had a 30-year head start on us, and we're trying to catch up. Thank you very much for your attention.